The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
And welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here at ToyWorldOrder.com. And, oh, God, and iTunes and Stitcher. Where did you get the big spider at?
Disney World.
Oh, my God, how does it shut off?
It just does it on.
Oh, God, Dave got Mandalorian spider from Disney World.
Ironically, this is pre-Mandalorian.
Yes, that crawls. And it's very
scary.
It was
originally based on an old piece of artwork. They made the toy of the artwork.
It's very scary.
I know.
I was like, Jesus Christ!
Well, that was the idea.
Jesus,
I was hoping
Christ.
To scream like a little girl, but no.
I almost did.
Oh.
I almost did. Oh, my God. You can hear us on iTunes and Stitcher and still no Spotify. I don't know how to fix it, people. Look, I'm going to make this 100% open to the listening audience. If you're familiar with RSS feeds and you know how to manipulate them and edit them, if you want to help me get the show on Spotify, you can contact me. You can send me a message on Facebook or email me at Duvall@ToyWorldOrder.com and we'll talk, because I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. Because of the way we hosted this show, it's become a big pain in the ass to get the show on Spotify, because I cannot figure out for the life of me how to damn edit the RSS feed, the damn website. Damn it.
Have you talked to the guy that's our webmaster?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't know either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good times. So, great, good times. Good times. I've had to figure out it all on my own because the guy who built the website for us years ago just doesn't give a shit anymore. So, yeah. So, okay. I've kind of had to figure this stuff out on my own as we go. Good times. Great. But owning a website is good times. We're back, gang. We're back with an all-new show. Lots of news this week. I pulled up a bunch of movie news, and Dave's was like, you're cute because you think there's going to be movies. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. We're going into another lockdown. We're like the Hobbits. We're going into second lockdown.
That's right. Warner Brothers announced that on Christmas Day,
sure,
both HBO Max and theaters will be showing Wonder Woman 1984.
I believe half of that.
Well, we know it'll be on HBO Max for sure.
That's the half, I believe.
Theaters, I don't know. It depends on if the theaters are open, because our theaters are closed right now.
Although, like, we'll talk off air.
Yes.
There's like there's an interesting thing where like everybody has like a specific date.
Yeah.
Which is like early December. The DMV, because I need my new driver's license.
Right.
And your Portillo's.
Oh, yeah.
All reopen on the same day.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, Wonder Woman 1984 will be released in theaters. That was kind of some big news over the weekend.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise, for everyone who thought the Predator movie franchise is dead. Haha, you're wrong.
I mean, I was one of those people. I mean, because Disney bought the thing.
Yes.
So either it's going to be terrible, like some of the last ones.
The 10 Cloverfield Lane director, Dan Trachtenberg, if you've ever seen the 10 Cloverfield Lane, it was the...
Don't worry, it was one with John Goodman.
Yeah, and a really great movie, like,
okay,
that ties into the universe, but really not until the very end, which you're like, oh.
I mean, does it?
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, spoilers for 10 Cloverfield Lane. I know it's an alien, I know it really is an alien invasion,
yes,
but, like, Cloverfield was the giant monster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same universe, I guess.
Yeah, and then there's the one on the space station that was released.
Which was terrible, yeah. The director of that, Dan Trachtenberg, is set to direct a script by Patrick Aizen on a new Predator movie for Disney and 20th Century Studios.
I thought 20th Century was like, I thought they put the shiv to that.
Nope, there's still...
That was my thing, was just keep 20th Century as like a thing for like for Predator movies. Or
right. That's
grown-up dramas.
Kind of what they're doing. Mm. The CW is currently developing a Wonder Girl TV series with Berlanti Productions and Daylan Rodriguez.
Okay.
I'm not sure who Daylan Rodriguez is.
No idea.
We'll center on Yara Flor, a Latina dreamer who was born of an Amazonian warrior and a Brazilian river god, and learns that she is Wonder Girl. With her newfound powers, must fight the evil forces that would seek to destroy the world. Yara will make her comic book appearance this January in Future State Wonder Woman, okay. Part of the DC's Future State event, written and drawn by...
Rodriguez?
No, Jones. I'm looking for his first
name. Jones?
Joelle Jones. So, yes, so they're working on that.
Yeah, that's like a big thing, is they're going to have all these legacy characters kind of take over for the big-name characters.
Yeah, which...
They do that stuff. Like, the only thing is, I think because AT&T is sharpening the knives,
yeah,
I'm not sure this is a good time to do anything really status quo changing.
Probably not.
But like as a general rule in comic books, you know, everything's never going to be the same again.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well,
give it a year.
Zack Snyder.
Like, so don't get like
yeah, don't get a lot of people
get wound up. My YouTube feed is filled with people that get wound up about this nonsense.
Yeah. I know. They're crazy.
Everybody. Well, we're all going crazy.
Eh, I'm not. I'm all right.
You were crazy to begin with.
I was. I was already there. Zack Snyder shared a new teaser for the Justice League Director's Cut, which honestly was pretty much the teaser we saw originally with maybe a couple of scenes. But that got released last week, and people were kind of excited. And I watched it and went, like, the only things I saw were a couple of new cyborg scenes where he's like, standing in a window like looking down at the street as Cyborg and watching kids play football, and you're just like, my heart.
Oh, I didn't realize he was unhappy from the Whedon cut.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, okay, whatever.
Black Panther 2 apparently will start filming this coming July.
What?
In the wake of Chadwick Boseman's surprising and tragic death. People assume that Marvel Studios and director Ryan Coogler would put the planned Black Panther 2 on the back burner.
I would have
apparently they've already figured things out, or at least to such a degree that the production start date has already been set, which will begin filming July 2021, just 4 months after its initial planned production start.
I mean, to be fair, in the comics, Shuri took over for a while.
Yep.
So there is precedent.
Yep. The shoot's expected to last for upwards of 6 months. Which is quite a long time, seeing as the first Black Panther only took less than 4 months.
Okay.
Mexican actor Tenoch Huerta, who has appeared in Cary Fukunaga's Sin Nabre, and Sam Mendes' Bond film Spectre, and also plays Rafael Caro Quintero in the Netflix series Narcos Mexico, has been cast in a key role as one of the film's antagonists. We don't know who he'll be. Could he be Submariner?
I don't know. I remember there was a thing in Endgame about earthquakes underwater, and everyone was like, yes, it's Submariner! That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that it would be a Black Panther antagonist, but I mean, it would be more like, I would think that would be more of an Avengers antagonist myself, but...
Yeah. So I think we're right, though. I think Shuri's gonna probably take over... How they do that, though, I don't know, unless it's all going to be tech-based, because they destroyed all of the fruits.
They did destroy all the fruits. Like, I personally would rather, I'm going to get her name wrong, but I think it should be Okoye.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she's like a badass warrior to begin with.
Yeah. She is.
For sure, he's like a buck 50, you know, something wet.
We'll see. With Marvel movies, with a lot of movies, you know how I am. I usually just,
I
hold off all my,
yes, I know. You know,
until I see the movie, and then I'm like, all right, it was good over his bed.
Like, judge your best friend on the drop of a hat. But
hey, man, I've never judged you for your kinks, my friend. I never kink shamed you. No, never. It's not true. Don't listen to him, people. He's full of shit. I love your kinks, David.
Okay.
And people are listening to this going, what the fuck is happening right now?
He's gone insane. He's been locked up too long.
Looks like Thor Love and Thunder is going to have a giant cast of Marvel players that it could end up feeling like Avengers 5. The Taika Waititi sequel, of course, is bringing back Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson, and Natalie Portman. But a new report is pointing to a sprawling cast that suggests the film might follow in the footsteps of Civil War, a movie that features multiple key Marvel characters without being a big Avengers sequel.
I mean, okay. I think he's a good director. And
they have already started shooting in Australia.
I didn't know they were letting people in Australia yet.
Mm-hmm. We also recently learned, we've got Hemsworth, Portman, and Thompson. Chris Pratt is going to be in the film.
I'm kind of glad because there was this weird sort of attitude about, oh no, we're not really going to continue that plot thread. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, that would be very disappointing and irritating. Yeah. So I'm glad they're going to. I assume at least some of the Guardians will be in it.
Yes. Some more familiar MCU faces could be popping up. We just won't know yet. Elsewhere in the MCU land, Peyton Reed's Ant-Man 3 is expected to arrive next year.
Yeah, well, mixed yay, because next year's a bad year.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be crowded from all the films they have to try to salvage from this year.
And James Gunn will likely start shooting Guardians of the Galaxy 3 at the end of that year, so yeah. 2021. So, but Thor, Love, and Thunder is set to open in 2022 in February.
Sure.
So we're still a while off. Meanwhile, also, Deadpool 3 is being fast-tracked into development at Disney and Marvel Studios, which is kind of surprising. I thought they would leave that one under 20th Century, but I guess they're going to move it over to Marvel Studios, and they've said time and time again, it's still going to be rated R. But it looks like two of the writers on Bob's Burgers, Wendy Moinex and Lizzie Moinex-Logan, if I said that right, have been hired to pen the script, while Ryan Reynolds, of course, is expected to reprise his role as the ever titular character Deadpool. So, looks like they're gonna gear up on that here real soon.
Josh Bowen be back as the Cable.
I don't know. And Ryan Reynolds, with a Deadpool movie, of course, tweeted a picture of Bob from Bob's Burgers with swords sheathed into his back. I love Bob's Burgers.
I mean, that's a show that I don't really watch, but every episode I've seen, I've thought yes. was funny.
For those of you wondering whatever happened to Coming to America 2.
I certainly did.
Or Coming to the number 2 America. Amazon Prime will be releasing it in March of 2021. So, yeah, Amazon Studios has acquired the worldwide rights for the sequel to Eddie Murphy's classic comedy, Coming to America. So, coming March. Yeah. I forgot that was the thing.
I forgot a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's a Tetris movie getting ready to land over at Apple.
God help. It's not going to be like an Apple exclusive, is it?
Yes.
Aw, poof.
Tara Egerton is set to star as Hank Rogers, the Dutch video game designer who was the first to secure the rights to distribute Tetris on consoles. And for those of you wondering, the Tetris isn't a film based on the game itself. Rather, it's about the creation of the game and its licensing around the world, which is a fascinating fucking
story.
Actually,
that's like I was kind of, before we started recording, I was joking, semi-joking, that I was interested how they would do it.
Yeah.
And like that actually, I would really like to see that movie.
Yeah. If you know the story of how Tetris got licensed.
I don't.
It was created in communist Russia. The licensing for it is fucking insane. Like, it's really a crazy story, and it's fascinating to see.
I love Tetris. I have one of those little kind of like 6-inch video game versions that they have at like Walmart.
Yes.
I have one of those in my room. I play Tetris every night before I go to bed.
Yeah. It's here's the synopsis. That was the synopsis for the 2016 book, The Tetris Effect, the Cold War Battle for the World's Most Addictive Game. And it goes as this. February 21st, 1989, three men fly into Moscow representing software giants from Britain, America, and Japan. Each of them is determined to undercut the others in order to secure a technology so powerfully addictive it has brought the government department that created it to a standstill. In a country on the brink of seismic change, where spycraft is about to give way to cutthroat capitalism, Tetris has become the grand prize, featuring corporate espionage, unmarked government organizations, courtroom drama, and international conspiracies. The origin of the world's most popular video game is gripping, fast-paced thriller of the highest order. It's a batshit crazy stuff with that movie.
I'm interested.
Apparently, we will be getting a new Pink Panther movie. Sadly, we had a couple of really bad Steve Martin movies from the mid-2000s that kind of tried to recreate Peter Sellers' classic bumbling Chief Inspector Jacques Clouseau. But now, after a decade after Martin's 2009 sequel, Pink Panther 2 nearly killed everything for good, the franchise will be set to continue again in a brand new movie from MGM. Jeff Fowler, who directed this year's Sonic the Hedgehog film, is set to direct and will also be a live-action animation hybrid, much like Sonic was. Okay. Plus on the...
Yeah, you know, the Pink Panther wasn't really in the Pink Panther.
Right, no, he wasn't. It was the...
That was the name of the diamond.
Yeah, the name of the diamond. Yeah. So we'll see what exactly that entails.
Yeah.
Also, we got a trailer for the upcoming Tom and Jerry live-action movie.
I've heard that it's coming, yeah.
Yeah. Which was very interesting to see live action with, instead of realistic-looking CGI, it literally is all...
like characters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's in the real world.
Yeah, it's in the real world. It's fascinating to me. It's probably going to be a terrible movie. I'll watch it, though.
I would take that bet that it will be a terrible movie. Although they did learn the lesson from Sonic. It gives the characters...
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume that's what they were going for.
Yeah. Netflix, in 2021, will be releasing a new Robert Rodriguez movie. A superhero movie called We Can Be Heroes. And for those of you who don't know what the hell Robert Rodriguez is doing, this is actually a sequel to The Adventures of Sharkboy and Lavagirl in 3D.
I assume.
Yep, and both the superheroes are returning, but apparently they get kidnapped and then the kids have to save them. The original actress who played Lavagirl is in it, but apparently Taylor Lautner had too many important things to do to come back as Sharkboy because somebody else is Sharkboy in this film. Yeah. Along with the return of Taylor Dooley, who was Lavagirl, J.J. Danshaw stepping in for Sharkboy, but also Pedro Pascal, Christian Slater, Boyd Holbrook. so there's a lot of crazy stuff, including it's a Robert Rodriguez movie, so it's going to be very interesting and probably cheesy. As most of his films have been over the last, 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, now. It was weird. He was, this kind of cool indie director, and then all of a sudden he took this weird left turn into making kids' films in his garage.
Yeah, but it didn't matter how bad they were.
Yeah, most of them seemed to make money.
They all made money because they were made for nothing. Because he did all the music, all the special effects, he did everything himself.
Yeah, if you've watched Sharkboy and Lavagirl, you can tell.
Yeah, boy, can you. I saw that movie in the theaters. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. HBO has given a full series order to the adaptation of The Last of Us, the classic PlayStation 4 game.
Yes, the classic PlayStation
4. It is now.
I believe it was PlayStation. It's an old game.
So well, it was PlayStation 3, yeah, but the sequel's on PlayStation 4. Yep, so we'll be getting a full season on HBO and streaming on HBO Max, which those of you who don't know what it is. The story takes place 20 years after modern civilization has been destroyed. Joel, a hardened survivor, is hired to smuggle Ellie, a 14-year-old girl, out of an oppressive quarantine zone. What starts as a small job soon becomes a brutal, heartbreaking journey as they both must traverse across the U.S. and depend on each other for survival. So it's if you've not played the games, it's
basically
more worth
it. It's a zombie apocalypse. It's got a little twist on the zombie thing. It's a fungus. I don't know if I assume this is not spoilers.
No.
I know about this. It's like a fungus. There's an actual real-world fungus that takes over, wasps and stuff.
Yes.
This is true. And so the idea is that it mutated or it's something like that, but it takes over human brains. So it's basically a zombie movie. It's got a little bit of a twist. The zombies make, a clicking noise. They're called clickers.
Clickers, yeah.
And he's got a... You got to deliver the girl somewhere.
Yep.
That part I won't spoil.
No.
And get real attached to Joel.
Yeah.
Super attached to him.
Yeah, attached to him.
He's very important.
Stranger Things Season 4 added a little bit of info. We know that joining the fourth season as new series regulars are Jamie Campbell-Bauer, Edward Franco, and Joseph Quinn. In addition... Tom Lashina, Sherman Augustus, Mason Day, Nikolai DeJurko, and the one and only Robert Englund are set for reoccurring roles.
Name I recognize.
The title of Season 4's opening episode is called The Hellfire Club.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And more details about elements of the story, including what Hellfire Club is. Quinn's character, Eddie Munson, is an audacious Eddie's metalhead who runs the Hellfire Club, Hawkins High's official D&D club. Hated by those who don't understand him and beloved by those who do, Eddie will find himself at the terrifying epicenter of the season's mystery. They basically said a psychiatric hospital will be the setting, will be a setting in season 4 with two of the new characters tied to it. series regular Bower will play Peter Ballard, a caring man who works at an elderly, who works as an orderly at a psychiatric hospital. Tired of the brutality he witnesses day after day, will Peter finally make a stand? Robert Englund will be playing Victor Creel, a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for a gruesome murder in the 1950s. Right up England's alley. Season 4 will feature two new Russian characters, none of them played by Russians.
That's cultural appropriation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's wrong.
Another development fits Jonathan, who's played by Charlie Heaton, the older brother.
Sure.
Will's older brother.
He
is getting a new best friend, Argyle, a fun-loving stoner who proudly delivers delicious pizza pies for Surfer Boy Pizza. So, I'm not sure when that's dropping. I think next year at some point. For those fans who love Black Lightning on the CW, this coming season 4 will be its final season. They announced that they will be canceling it after the 4th season. So, which is kind of a shame because it just became part of the CW Arrowverse at the end of Crisis last year. So, sadly. So, there's some movie news for you guys. Today, Hasbro released images of new G.I. Joe classified 6-inch figures of Flint and Lady J. That was their big reveals today.
I think the big reveal was that they're not horrible Target.
Yeah, they're not horrible Target exclusives. And these figures actually look really good. They look pretty on base for what Flint and Lady J should look like. No weird Fortnite stuff on them, and like some of the other characters have. Flint looks really good.
I'm fine with the basic concept of updating the designs.
Right.
You know, I'm not necessarily in love with some of the choices they made.
Apparently, what I understand, like the hats,
the beret.
It's about his beret.
It's removable.
Yeah, it's removable.
He's got a really unfortunate haircut.
Yes, he does. And then Lady J. Lady J looks really nice. I think she's also got a.
What the hell is that?
Oh, the backpack.
What the thing is, like, I
it's like a spear gun.
No, yes, that's a classic. That's her classic weapon,
right?
And the spears, but she had like a little arm or
yeah, she's got a camera. Little yeah, a little camera thing on her backpack.
Like she's in Pony Marine all of a sudden.
But she's interesting because she doesn't have swappable heads. You can take her hat off, and she actually has two headpieces. Like the hair pops off, and you pop the hat on, and then you pop the hat on,
yeah.
Put the hair on. So
I've seen figures like that.
Yeah. Kind of neat looking, though.
Yeah,
you can display her with the hat or without the hat.
Those are two of my favorite characters.
Yeah. And I love her backpack can store. She's got extra stuff stored in the back of her backpack. And yeah, I think that thing on the backpack is like a camera, like a GoPro or something. That's what it looks like, yeah. So, yes, they are not terrible Target exclusives.
They also showed off some Walmart ones, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Duke, Cobra Commander.
Yeah, the retro
line.
3¾-inch, yeah. Yeah,
I forget who the third one
is. Cobra Commander looks like Cobra Commander. Duke, apparently people are really pissed about the head sculpt. Like, it's apparently really terrible. Super 7 showed off some new reaction figures. This time around, some new Power Rangers figures. Basically, we'll be getting the Green Ranger, a Megazord, Pudgy Pig, Putty Patroller, the Red Ranger, and Rita Repulsa. Coming up here soon for Power Rangers. That's kind of neat. Pudgy Pig. I mean, they didn't really show figures. They just kind of showed the art. I don't know. The putties are... I always love the putties. They're so terrible, but... And then Rita. So, some cool stuff there. They also announced a line of Voltron, or rather a Voltron figure in the reaction style. So, you'll be getting a poseable reaction style Voltron with 5 points of articulation. So, kind of neat. That's up for pre-order right now. Diamond Select Toys showed off a previous exclusive Tron Electronic Arcade with basically it's an exclusive box set. The box contains the Tron figure, the Sark figure, the Flynn figure, identity disc accessories, a Tron marquee, a Tron Arcade games joystick replica, and batteries because it does light up. So... kind of neat for anyone who's been kind of holding off on getting those. You can get a box set that looks like the classic Tron arcade game with the figures inside of it. So kind of cool. I always like Tron.
I like the actual video game.
NECA showed off packaged images of its Ace Ventura Toonie Classics figure, which looks, of course, like the Ace Ventura, the animated series, hence the Toonie name, but it looks very much on par with the animated series that was out. But it comes with a crocodile, it comes with a little, I think it's a seagull, and it's a little monkey buddy, as well as two heads.
It could be a seagull, could be a pigeon.
Yep, so he comes with animal friends and an alternate head.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then. Which they can perch on his arms, and then he can stand on the crocodile. I love that. The back of it says, "You can count on me to rescue your missing pet post-haste and without error. Guaranteed." And there's a little asterisk, and it says, "Guarantee, not guaranteed." Ace Ventura.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. LEGO announced it's launching its biggest brick set ever with the I don't know what these sets are called. They had a name at one time. I don't think they're called
it anymore.
But they're doing the famous Roman Colosseum. It will be true to life details. We'll help builders bring the famous building to life, including having 80 ribs in the spectator stands and 3 different shades of bricks. The set is for 18 and up. Contains 9,036 pieces.
Some of those better be kittens.
And retails for $549.99.
Some of those better be real kittens.
Yeah, whole.
I was about to mention that.
Shit.
That when I was there, like the whole place was crawling with cats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd like to go to Rome someday.
Sure. And it also comes with, I think it's like, when you buy these sets, I guess like the first week or the first day.
Right.
They'll give you these little bonus sets, which they don't really talk about.
Yeah.
Which is poopy, because then you get surprised. But anyway, like for that one, it's a little gladiator minifigure with a little. I was telling you this before the thing. You're like, yeah. With a chariot, with a little buildable chariot and horse.
Cute.
Like, yeah.
9,000 pieces.
That didn't even look that big.
No, but it's pretty damn big.
But I mean, having built the Ghostbusters,
the Death Star,
not the Death Star, but the Ghostbusters headquarters,
the firehouse,
like they. The whole thing is made out of the smallest possible piece. Yeah.
To make it look like brick.
A billion times. Yeah. To give it that texture. And
oh, shit. Good Smile Company is releasing some figures based on the classic, I think it was Nintendo Switch game originally. I could be wrong. It might have came out before the Switch. But Splatoon. So you'll get the figures of Pearl and Marina from the Splatoon game. Some nice little posable anime characters, technically. But, yeah, Pearl comes with her chair, and Marina will come with a little DJ stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, multiple heads and posability, multiple faces. So, cool game. I never did play that game. I never had a Switch, so never got to play it. Storm Collectibles showed off images of their 1/12 scale Sub-Zero Unmasked figure, which...
Oh, God, that's still a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're... Storm Collectibles is still doing them.
I mean, the one...
The 1/12, yeah.
Was that Storm? I thought that was Mezco.
Mezco's doing them, too, but Storm was doing them before. So he comes with a whole bunch of features, a bunch of icicles that you can put on his hands.
Icicles?
He comes with you can put a little ice thing over another figure to make it look like they're frozen. And then you can also, like, break them apart, and it's got, like, little blood... pieces that you can put in the package, so it looks like he's ripped the character apart. And it comes with a bunch of like hands and feet and stuff and bones and like this little gory thing he can stand on. So yeah. Some fun little
fun for the kiddies.
Yeah, fun for the kiddies there. Fun for the kiddies. Hasbro also announced this week that they were doing a Marvel X-Men Transformers team up, kind of the same in the same vein they did with Ghostbusters and Back to the Future.
And Top Gun.
And Top Gun. This time it's a character named Expanse, and it's basically the X-Men's famous Blackbird SR-71 jet. And Dave and I originally were talking that they were just going to reuse the mold for Jetfire from movies, because that made sense.
Yeah.
They did not.
I thought they did.
No, they did not use that. That's a completely different. But I also joked that it was probably going to be Cyclops when he transformed.
Well, what we said was they'll use the Jetfire thing with a new head. And yeah. You said it'll probably be Cyclops.
And guess what? It's Cyclops.
Well,
it's got a little Cyclops visor. I don't know. I don't like the back kibble. Like, something about a lot of these Transformers, this back kibble these days, it's just like, Jesus, man. Like, you guys do something with that? He does come with little minifigures of Wolverine and Sabretooth, as well as a bunch of connectable blast effect pieces. So you can have Wolverine's claws, Psylocke's blade, and a blaster effect from Cyclops. So kind of neat. Coming soon. It'll be available on 3/1/2021. It's not up for pre-order yet. Hasbro Pulse does have a page for it. It'll be $64.99 and comes in packaging that recreates the classic Toy Biz X-Men, basically.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah. Which is kind of neat to see. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, if fans of X-Men and Marvel, Transformers, good guy, I cannot talk tonight. Those will be there, as well as they also announced they're doing another version of the Ecto-1 Transformer figure, which they had a Pulse Fan First Friday live stream, which is was all tied to the cinema. So they revealed a Ghostbusters Afterlife Ecto-1 Ectotron, which is a Target exclusive and was available for pre-order on Target.com, and now it's gone. Transformers Studio Series 70, Bumblebee for Transformers the Movie, the Cybertron version of Bumblebee. Deluxe Transformers Dark of the Moon Autobot Dino. I was not familiar with Dino, but Ectotron, basically, it's just it comes with another ghost. And it's just kind of it's supposed to be like a kind of more beat up version of Ecto-1, but I think it also, I don't think they added anything. Yeah, they just rusted up the front of it. Didn't add anything like from the movie, like the gunner's chair or anything like that. So, yeah. But for fans that were wanting to get the Bumblebee from the Bumblebee movie in his Cybertronian vehicle mode, they are doing that one. So, and the Dino, I was not familiar with the Dino character. I did not recognize him.
Which one's he from?
Dark of the Moon. Transforms into like a little Ferrari. But, Hasbro also showed off a bunch of Star Wars figures. The Bad Bunch.
Okay, most of these were already up for order.
Right, which, bad. Yeah.
Bad Bunch is from the last season of Clone Wars, like the new one.
Yeah.
Bad Batch.
Then, of course, they're doing a figure of Zutan, better known as to fans as Snaggletooth.
Yeah, they're doing the Bad Batch, and they're doing Asajj Ventress.
Yeah, Asajj Ventress was a big...
Yeah, like she hasn't been done the Black Series yet.
Yeah, so people were very happy about that. But they also showed off some... on Mando Monday this week, they showed off some new Star Wars Black Series figures. Moff Gideon, Grief Karga, and Quillil.
Quill.
I always want to say Quillil. Moff Gideon will come with the Darksaber.
Okay.
I just wanted to point that out.
Someone told Katie Sackhoff.
You know. Grief Karga will come with some blasters, and then
Quill. Season 1 Grief
Karga. Yeah, and then Quill will come with his little shotgun blaster thing. So, And then Hot Toys showed off a new Hot Toys figure this time. Marvel Zombies gets the cake with a zombie Deadpool figure.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, well, that's interesting, I guess.
For a while there, they had a lid on Marvel Zombie stuff.
Yeah, they did. And it seems like they've lifted that lid.
Yeah.
But he'll come with a zombie-fied Deadpool with an articulated jaw and his little propeller hat.
Okay.
He'll come with Squirrel Pool. So there's a little squirrel pool. And then, of course, the figure itself, which being Marvel Zombies, it's got a lot of stuff that you can put arrows through its head. And, you know, it's again, as a Hot Toys figure for Marvel Zombies, it's pretty neat.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a Hot, you know, it's a Hot Toys figure.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So that'll be out sometime in the next couple of years.
Yeah. That ain't no joke.
Yeah, at this point, no one knows. Fourth quarter 2021, first quarter 2022. So still quite a while for that one. So that's all the movie news and toy news I got this week, David.
Did we talk about Mandalorian last week?
I don't think so, because I haven't watched episode 3 yet, and I haven't watched episode 4 yet this week. So yeah. We can talk about episode 3.
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of, like, I noticed that's what we're kind of doing. Is we're
about a week behind, yeah. I was going to try to watch the new episode today, and I just never got around to it.
I will say it's interesting.
Okay.
It definitely, like, last week had a big, like, even though it's a very quick conversation, it had a big sort of lore drop.
Yes.
That explained a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
About the Mandalorians and about the different cultures and what the deal was, which for fans had been an issue from the start.
Yeah.
So that I enjoyed. This week actually answers a question that we've had since almost the start.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
I
will have to watch it this weekend.
And there's a prequel reference.
I'll definitely have to watch it this weekend.
Very soft.
Episode 3 was pretty entertaining. If you have not watched it yet, you might want to turn the show off now.
Yeah, it's been a week, but whatever.
Yeah, it's been a week, but you know, whatever. I did enjoy the third episode. I thought it redeemed his genocide. Yeah.
He was just like, oh, look, they're actually sentient beings. That gives them so much more flavor.
Yeah, I can eat them more now. Nom, 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 nom.
They have a soul.
I like that, they ended up on this kind of water planet thing.
Yeah, which is Mandalorian has this weird thing of like having these planets that are sort of like other planets.
Yes.
In the Star Wars universe. And it was very weird because I knew I heard the name of the planet.
Yeah.
So I knew it wasn't Mon Cal.
Right.
But the people who live there are Mon Cal and Korn.
Yeah.
Who are the inhabitants of Mon Calamari. So it was like a little weird. There was a lot of like little Star Wars stuff. I love the Mon Cal that you see basically looks like a Newfoundland fisherman.
Yeah.
Cable knit sweater, just leather
apron. And literally somebody found that same sweater for sale at JCPenney.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I just love that he just looked like a fisherman. And then I love the like Mando's ship, as I said last week.
Yeah.
Or as I said like the week before, like the after the Spider episode, I said it's gonna be the first shot of the episode is gonna be from the trailer. And it was.
Yeah.
And he tries to land it and he crashes in the water and they have this crane. That's built on like AT-AT legs.
Yeah, which was awesome.
I love details.
I was like that's so cool.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because this came up, I was in a discussion with a friend. So Mando, he's there to look for more Mandalorians.
Right.
He hears that this guy can like take him to where the Mandalorians are.
Right.
Did you think those guys, that boat, did you think that was a pirate boat or a fishing boat?
I don't know, honestly.
Because
I thought it was a fishing boat.
I thought it was a fishing boat. I have a friend who thought it was a pirate boat, and I'm like, but it looks like a trawler. It's got nets.
Yeah.
They've got the weird – I mean, the whole thing –
What was the name of those creatures?
Mamacores.
Yeah.
The creature in the hold. Yeah. And that was weird because I thought maybe – because we don't know about these things' life cycles.
Right.
The Korn life cycles.
Yeah.
Like, I thought maybe that was like – I still think maybe that's like their mother, their broodmare.
Yeah.
Because like, it's a squid-like monster.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it was like that's what the clans do is they keep their egg laying mama down in the hold and they feed it fish.
Well, I love that, you know, Mando gets on this boat thinking he's going to be okay and they try to show him the
mama core.
Yeah, the mama core. And then the dude just fucking kicks
baby, the baby Yoda,
kicks
into,
baby
it.
Yoda
yeah,
into it. And you're like, no! And then the thing just eats the
well,
pram.
I was like, yes, how does it feel?
The thing eats the pram and, of course, Mando goes to dive in and they lock him in. They're about to kill him, like, and then these other Mandos just come flying out of nowhere, and the first person you see land is Bo-Cat. Is that her name?
Bo-Katan,
yeah. Which I knew who she was, but I didn't know her name because I knew she was a big character in Clone Wars and in Rebels, and I was like, oh, well, I know that armor. I find it fascinating that the actress that played her is actually the voice actress.
Katie Sackhoff, who is also Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, yeah. I found that super interesting and super cool, actually. I was like...
Yeah, that was a nice detail.
And somebody was like, well,
she'd be like 100 years old or something.
But I was like, it's fucking Star Wars, so...
It's space.
Who knows? It's space. Whatever.
Who knows what the deal is?
Yeah, it's fine. They'll explain it away. It's all good.
She dyes her hair.
Yeah. Go for it. That's where they dropped the little... piece of Mandalorian lore.
Yeah, because they take off their helmets.
They take their helmets off.
And Mando freaks out about it. And they're like, oh, no, we're from the... I was born on the planet Mandalore.
Yeah.
You're one of those weird watch people.
Yeah, you're from the watch or whatever.
Yeah, the Death Watch, which is an established
cult
Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
The Death Watch.
And they were a cult.
Yes. Like her sister actually started the cult. Or took it over. It's been a while since I watched the appropriate Rebels, or not Rebels, Clone Wars episodes. Yeah. And it also exists in other media. Like in Galaxies, if you wanted Boba Fett armor, you went to the Death Watch bunker. And that was like, 2005, 2006.
Right. So yeah, it was a great little piece of lore. I knew the lore, and I was like, oh, snap.
But it was nice to square that circle of why some Mandalorians couldn't take their helmet off, but we had seen in Clone Wars lots of Mandalorians.
Right. So it kind of clears that up for other people who are like,
yes. Well, it clears it up for me.
It also introduced your first WWE superstar as a member of the cast.
Yes.
That is the Miss Sasha Banks, I was like, oh, that's that. I know who that is. And they were part of the Night Owls, right?
I don't know.
Was that the name of?
I don't remember them saying they had a name. It was just like she was.
Well, but I mean, in Clone Wars and Rebels, they had a little group of female Mandalorians.
Okay. Well, one guy's the dude.
He was not, but he didn't. His helmet didn't have
the eyes.
Yeah.
That might be after I stopped watching.
Okay, gotcha. But they come to save him. They save the child. The Prams beat the fuck up. They literally rip it apart.
Save your toys with the Prams, because I don't think we're getting any more of those.
Yeah, I think the Prams done.
I think the Prams done.
They kind of talked, and they talk Mando. They're like, we need help. The what's left of the Empire here is getting ready to load a ship full of weapons. We need to take that ship. We need those weapons. And Mando's like, okay, if I do this, will you tell me where to find, the Jedi, basically?
Yeah.
And she's like, absolutely. So he takes the child to the frog people, who, of course, the child just ADHD.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. And leaves the child with them. And, of course, the child looks at the eggs, but then sees, like, one of them hatch. And he's like, oh. And I thought what you thought. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good. And then Mando and the Mandalorians go to the ship. And they basically, like.
It's kind of a heist thing.
It is.
And then the commander of the ship is Titus Welliver from Lost.
Yes, he is.
Some people point out he was a better Imperial commander in his one little, like, half an hour on the show.
Yeah.
Than, the guy who's, what's his name from the new movies?
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name now. The redheaded, the young guy redheaded in the new movies.
Who was the, he was the
Hux, General Hux.
Yeah, he was the turncoat.
In the end,
It was much better.
Yeah, he was cool.
Well, he killed his pilots, for God's sake, because he was going to destroy the ship, man.
But the best part is they're like, they're making their way to the cargo hold, and the commander in charge, like, in module.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, wait, that's a bad idea. Yeah, and then they open the door, and they get sucked out,
which was awesome.
That was great.
And the one pilot's like, copy? Do you copy alone? And it's like, oh, they're dead, dude. They dead.
They're gone.
But they take the ship, and basically... she tells him where to find Ahsoka. Yeah,
she drops that name.
Yeah, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he goes back and picks the kid, the child up, and the child, the frog people are showing the child their spawn. Yeah,
the tadpole has gotten pretty big pretty quick.
And he's,
Baby Yoda's,
he's
like, man, that'll feed me for a week.
He's like petting it. He's just fascinating.
He's this is, if you leave it alone, it gets more food.
He's like, I ate some of you last time. And then they take the child and they take off. Well, they go to the ship, the calamari.
The calamari, apparently, which is weird because, like, in Star Wars, the lore, they're supposed to be, like, very famous shipwrights.
Yes.
But apparently the fisherman guy, the cable knit sweater guy, ain't one of them.
No, he's not.
It's like it's literally held together with wire.
It's
stitched together, literally stitched together.
It really is. And it's covered in fishing nets everywhere.
And they didn't empty the nets.
Oh, no, they did.
There was a thing crawling around.
Oh, and it tried to eat Baby Yoda. Oh, and the Baby Yoda ate it, which was full circle.
Full circle. Circle of life.
it was a good episode, though.
I've liked the season so far. I haven't yet. I think the first episode is still my favorite of this season. I haven't really had that, like, super awesome episode yet.
Right.
I think.
Right.
Although the first one comes close.
Yeah, the first one comes close.
But like overall, the quality so far has been very, very good.
Yes.
Every episode.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. They're doing a thing. It seems like they're doing a thing where like the each episode connects, right? Like
yes.
the end of the last episode connects to the beginning of the
yes.
episode. So they fit together. And then there's kind of a side quest. But it seems like every time they do the side quest, you actually find out that it's more actually
– it's more of the story.
Integral to the overall story
right,
that you
right.
think it's going to be. Like with you know, the Mandalorians, like they're trying to stop the remnants of the Empire,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. And she's looking for the Darksaber.
Yeah, because it's hers.
Well, it's whoever rules Mandalore.
Right.
Is the Darksaber is the way it's supposed to work. So that all ties in. And this week's episode is very similar in that – it dovetails, like, the you know, the fact that the ship's been put together crappily influences his decisions, and then he gets sidetracked, and then you find out, oh.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. No, this ties in big time with what's going on. And then, you know, he goes on his way. We did get a thing in the fan group. Alex Pasquale asked about something, because I had made a comment, and I couldn't find the comment, Alex. It was something to the effect of... something that was weird, but I could kind of explain it away. I'm thinking it's from the Ice Planet episode, because that was what we were talking about last week.
Right.
And Mando says, "May the Force be with you," to the Rebel pilots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was very weird, because, of course, he doesn't know who the Jedi are. He doesn't know what Yoda's, or Baby Yoda's doing.
But maybe he's heard that phrase.
What I'm thinking is, to him, that's like, God bless you, or Gesundheit.
Right.
It's an expression that he knows that the Alliance uses.
Yes.
But he doesn't really understand what it means.
Right.
And I would bet money the way this season's going that that will actually be a... Probably when he finds Ahsoka, that will literally be like, she'll say something about the Force, and he'll be like, I thought that was just a thing.
Right.
I bet there'll be a line of dialogue
yeah.
like that. But that's I assume that's what I was talking about. Because it was very weird in that moment for him to say, may the Force be with you.
Right, right.
Because you're like, wait, what?
Wait, he doesn't know what the
yeah,
Force is. Yeah. But again, what you just said makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that the Alliance
yeah,
says.
Something knows. The Rebel Alliance says.
Because the way so. He says it, too, is very sort of, yeah, may the Force be with you.
Yeah. And apparently, also with you. It's like, wait a minute, hold on.
I'm going to spoil one minor thing. It's apparently Fat X-Wing Pilot, who apparently is like a YouTuber or a podcaster. He's just a fan.
Right.
Who got a gig. Yeah, I guess he's going to be like a recurring character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he shows up again.
Well, because
I'm officially calling him Space Columbo at this point.
Well, because it was him and Dave Filoni,
it was
right?
him and Dave Filoni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool that he got a gig. I mean, that's
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fat. I love Star Wars. Yeah.
Give me
a, I have a podcast.
Me, yeah. But can you act, David?
I think we both know that I can.
Yeah,
I can act as a puppet.
Yes, the puppet. Yes,
I'll take a gig. I'm like I remember when.
Did you imagine the puppet being an X-wing fighter?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, not an X-wing fighter. That would be terrible. That'd be terrible. That'd be disastrous for everyone involved.
Yes.
Well, I was gonna say.
Puppet's the new Jabba the Hutt.
No, not the puppet's the new Jabba the Hutt. Oh, like when Sam Jackson was. Lobbying to get in the movies. He's like, man, put me in Stormtrooper armor, put me in a costume, put me in a monster mask.
Yeah.
I'll do anything.
Yeah. And then he got to be Mace Windu.
He got to actually be like, yeah, on camera.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about episode 4 next week after Jason watches it.
Besiege.
Yes.
Don't know why it's called that. They really didn't besiege anything.
No.
Per se.
But we'll also start filming for December. We've got a nice little gift for everyone. Which I won't talk about yet, but we start filming it. Yeah, we start filming it next week. So, yeah. So we'll.
So then we're not all locked in our hole.
Yeah, we'll be fine. But gang, that's gonna wrap the show up this week. Make sure you tune in next week, and until then, Mr. David.
Don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, the Toy Bar peeps, it's closed. Oh God, scary spider. Peace out. Oh God, get it away. Ah!
Oh, crawling on me.
Oh God.